Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, June 30th, 2015, the last day in this great month before we launch into July. Wow. Well, I think for many of you, the voice and wisdom and passion for God's Word comes out through my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo. And due to the fact that today, I think around 2 o'clock, he has another pre-op appointment with this kidney stone situation going on, we're going to do a throwback just about 3¾ years ago to October 18th, 2011, when I first invited Pastor Jason Schiffo into the studio to share his testimony. So for those of you that have been tuned in for a number of years, this is where it all began. And for some of you newer to this radio ministry, you'll learn how God raised up Jason Schiffo at a unique time in the life of this radio ministry in my life, and how he's blossomed into this role, co-hosting with me on Wednesday and Fridays, and sometimes doing other interviews on Monday and Tuesdays, to become a part of this radio ministry and a blessing to so many as he loves to divide God's word and teach. So here's the first time inviting him into the studio, October 18th, 2011, and I began with how I met Pastor Jason Schiffo, who's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois.
I met Pastor Jason just about 2 to 3 months ago as I was sharing part of a mission moment. The Community Evangelical Free Church has supported this radio ministry for, I don't know, maybe 10, 12, 15 years, many, many years. And the church has been one of our drop-off points or our launching points for many of our Israel trips. So we appreciate the whole congregation and how they've embraced many of the outreach programs that we've done through trips to Israel and other humanitarian mission trips. But Jason, we met just a few months ago. It was like meeting an old friend that had so many commonalities and life experiences that it was like, wow, this guy could be a best friend instantly. And one of the reasons is because you were a Jewel food store manager, and we instantly could identify with all the struggles, the heartaches, the successes, the challenges, the pressures. It just went on and on. It was like you would say something and I could finish the sentence, or you could say, how about this? And I said, exactly how I felt. Nobody understands what it's like to oversee and manage dozens, hundreds of people and be in a store setting and work in weekends. And so I would love for you to share some of your life experiences. But before you do, I know you picked out a verse, but as I asked you, what's your favorite verse or theme or foundational kind of default verse that you go to? And you said, Mark, I have so many favorites. In fact, generally God puts on my heart, whatever I'm going to preach or teach on, that becomes my favorite, or whatever I'm reading at the day becomes my favorite. But you chose something out of Deuteronomy. So share a little why and then read that for us.
Yeah, a number of years ago, when I was going to Bible college and preparing this calling into ministry, I had a season in time where I was asking myself, well, who is Jesus? It was almost like this moment where you go to the faith cliff and you say, what is this all about? Because if Jesus was just this, it just felt like there was more. And I had read a book, and a book was called The Gospel According to Moses by Anthal Dickinson, and he was a Christian. He still is a Christian. And he said that all my life I was taught to just have faith. And at some point in his early 20s, after he had fallen away from the church, a friend of his invited him to a local Jewish synagogue for a Torah study. And he said he went into this Torah study, and he said there he was just amazed at the fact that it wasn't a Bible study, but it seemed to be a lesson in argumentation. He said that people, they just argued and wrestled back and forth. And he said afterwards he got up and he went up to the rabbi who was sort of seemed like he was teaching, but he said it was very loose. He used the word teaching in a very loose sense, and asked this rabbi, what's happening here? And he said the reason that we have survived so many thousands of years is that we have learned to wrestle what it means to follow God like Jacob wrestled at Bethel. And that led me on a journey of saying, wait a second, there is more to this story than I even know. So Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. I tell everybody that means all the time. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And the beginning of this verse here is the Shema, the things that all Torah observant Jews say 3 times a day. So it beckons back to that heritage, the Jewish heritage. But then the next part is what Jesus quotes to the Pharisees in Matthew 22:37-40. So Jesus deems us as being so important that this is the greatest commandment that he gives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your brother as yourself. And then the rest of it I just love because it says, impress him upon your children. The greatest disciple-making moment I can do in following God is to impress God upon my children. That impressing means to like lean against him and don't let up. And then it says, you know, to talk about him everywhere you go. Talk about God everywhere you go. And then to write it on your door frames. And for me, that just means that when somebody comes to my house, they know I follow God. And I am sharing God in such a way that when they come into my town, the gates, they know we're following God. Mm. And so it was important to me because this was this intersection point between the fullness of the story, who Jesus was in his cultural, social, economic, his Jewish roots, the land that Jesus walked in. But then also it speaks about the mission that Jesus put on us in Matthew 28 when he says, therefore go. Therefore, go and make disciples everywhere you go so that people know when they come to your house and when they come to your town, you follow me. So this verse here almost encapsulates what I feel like the call of my life is through God.
Now, you're a graduate of Liberty University, but take us back. Did you grow up in a Christian home? What led that decision to go to Bible college and then to be called to the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad? So give us some of your life story. And certainly, I know you want to acknowledge your three children over the air, because I think your son Jacob is very excited about this radio debut that you're going to be very famous after today.
Yeah, we had a joke going on this morning that I was getting dressed up really nice to be on the radio, and that Jacob kept telling everybody in the house how famous I'm going to be after today. So we want to give a shout-out to Jacob, 5 years old. Give a shout-out to Molly, 2 years old. She thinks she's going to get a pony out of this. And Abigail, not even – she's right there with my wife, young enough at 4 months old that she doesn't even care that Dad's on the radio today.
Yes.
Yeah, the story, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We did attend church when I was younger, a small congregational white steeple church in Huntley, Illinois. And my folks saw church as a great place to drop us off so that they could have some time without us in the house. So church was a good babysitting service for my folks. And we were involved in the church. We went on missions trips as kids, and we were confirmed at the church, and we did all the things. But this was a church that was very traditional, so it wasn't a sense of relationship with God. It was more kind of this God that stood at a distance, and we came and we worshiped him and played in the handbell choir and did all those kinds of things. But there wasn't really an understanding of how God wants to be with me. All those passages in the Bible where God says, I will be with you, I will be with you. Jesus says it in Matthew 28, surely I will be with you. That was really missing in that setting. And that's not to say that it was bad. It was just the type of church it was. So I really didn't have that. So I kind of, when I graduated school, I went to the Army. I spent 3 years in the Army in Hawaii. And then from there, I came back from the Army and got hired with Jewel Food Stores.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, they had the Jewel shout-out, right?
Yes.
I think I told Mark the other day, I was joking that somebody on Facebook who I recently connected with from Jewel had said, I got transferred to the Schomburg store, and without even thinking, I go, 1151, 2501. The store numbers are still somewhere deep in my brain.
Yeah, that's probably, I won't say a private joke, but I know exactly what you mean because that's how we referred to all the Jewel food stores in the area. Yeah, I was at 4 Westmont. I was here, 2239, you know, Archer, wherever. And so, yeah, the Jewel connection with you and I is so strong. It's like, wow.
But, well, it's scary what they've done. I don't know. Every time I go to the section with the yogurt in the grocery store, I walk casually, slowly, and tip the yogurts up to look at the dates.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to go get the guy and go, like, now, look, you didn't rotate these, and we didn't. Let's talk about this.
Yes.
This is your first warning. So I got hired by Jewel, and I kind of went on a journey outside of the church. I still, when I look back, I go, morally and ethically, I was there. But I didn't attend a church. I didn't read my Bible. I didn't have much experience. I just went on kind of a journey. I went to the Army, went to Jewel. And then about 2004, and during that time, I was doing triathlons and I was doing marathons. I was really trying to just work out everything I was doing in all these kind of extreme sports. You know, I thought running 26 miles was fun. On the hindsight now, I don't think so. So I met my wife, Tasha.
Yeah, we must do a shout-out for Tasha.
Yeah, do a shout-out to
your
Tasha.
Your beautiful, lovely wife. Come
beautiful.
On, Husbandry 101. Make sure you pass it right here.
Yeah, I got to use this opportunity, right? A beautiful woman, full of grace and mercy and forgiveness. So I met my wife, and my wife grew up Methodist, and she was attending a Methodist church in Naperville. I lived in Crystal Lake. It kind of brought me back into the church via her. But I still had some things, some I would say some baggage from my journey. And it was about 2 years into our marriage, a year and a half into our marriage, and things were just not working well. So my wife said, you know, this just isn't going to work. I need to, I'm going to have to leave. And she took my son Jacob. He was then 1 year old. And she said, we're going to pack up. We're going to go to my parents' house. And I just don't know what to tell you. And when she left out of the house, I could tell you that everything that was good in my house left. It was like the air. I describe it as somebody vacuumed all the air out of the house. And I didn't know what to do. And that day, it was on a Saturday, and that day I went to a church. And I opened the church pretty much, I think, and I closed the church down. And I was there just all night, and I was in tears. And the next morning I had to work, and it was before the store opened up, and I remember going in the back room and kneeling on this concrete floor and just saying, Lord, I think that I've made a mess of my life, Lord. I've just made a mess. And if there's anything that I can do, Lord, if you can just have Tasha remember one good thing, I'll follow you forever. And 10 minutes later she called. And she said, I think we can work this out. And so it began this journey of reconciling our own relationship. And in that, the counselor that we were seeing, the marriage counselor that we were seeing, was a Christian counselor. And he was saying, you know, I think that you're being called into ministry. And I would go, no, you don't even understand. We're here for counseling. And he would say, like, no, I really think that. And I'd say, no. And then other people were saying this.
Now, at this time, are you with Jewel Food Stores?
No. This time, I've exited Jewel Food Stores. I actually worked for 4 years with Bed Bath & Beyond as a store manager.
Okay.
So people are saying, hey, you should be in ministry. You should be in ministry. I think you're being called to ministry. And these were not people who were just were cheerleaders for me. These were people who were outside of that circle who probably shouldn't have said that or probably would not have said that. So I said, well, you know what? I'll try it. So I took one class, and I was not a great high school student. And this class I received an A in, and I'm like, well, this is crazy. I got an A, and I didn't even really try, and things just made sense. And later on down that journey, I won't make a long story short, I was put in a position where I was to teach, and it was a God moment because it was in a large mega church. It was a church of about 7,000 people, and they said, this is an exception to the rule. We never do this. And I got in that moment where I was teaching. And I tell people all the time, it was like my mission and my passion had come together.
Yeah, that convergence.
Yeah, and I was, afterwards, I could not stop weeping. I told Tasha, I said, I am, like, in the place I should be. And that just started this journey, and God has built upon it. God has opened doors. I mean, we joke and say that there hasn't been a time in this 5 or 6 year journey where we have wanted, as we lean into and depend on the Lord, He's provided in every way, whether it's school, whether it's a financial means, a place to live in the interim that would fit our budget, being in school and having kids and doing all. So God just is continually doing that, leading up to, I had joked a year ago and said, I'll never go to a mainline church. I was doing missionary work and I was serving churches and training and equipping them, writing curriculum to train churches and then speaking at churches, which is how I came to Community Evangelical Free in Mahomet. I came there and I spoke because they were between pastors. And I joked and said I would never go to one, but if I did go to one, I would go to an evangelical free church. So God just opened up this door, and I pushed back. I said, God, I don't know about this, God. I don't know about this. And we went back and spoke, and they asked me if they could have a resume. The whole process began. And I still was pushing back against it until it was actually the weekend that I candidated. And I remember afterwards, the elder said to him, he goes, in all the times you spoke at our church, you never appeared nervous, but this time you appeared extremely nervous. And I shared with him, I said, when I got up on the stage to begin to teach, I felt in my heart God say, now, Abraham, will you go? And it was just this moment where I go, oh my, this moment here has more weight and measure than I even understand. And it was that moment where I had to say, God, I will go. And it's been a great journey since. I mean, the church has been so open and welcome, and our family just is, we know that this is the place that God wants us to be and that God has called us to be.
And where were you 4 years prior to this? Because you've been serving as the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet these past 4 months. But where were you prior to this calling?
We were in Peoria, Illinois, and that's okay. Where we served as a missionary. We served a church in Bradford, Illinois for a stretch of 7 months as kind of an interim pastor, just guiding them out of a bad situation. There was, well, a number of different churches, probably 40 to 50 different churches that we taught at and helped along the way, equipped with curriculum. Prior to that, well, we've been in Peoria the whole time, but prior to that, I was with Bed Bath & Beyond. And I tell people that was an interesting time for me because I was kind of like I had my left foot in Bed Bath & Beyond, And I had my right foot kind of out of being in ministry because it was still the first tentative steps. And then there was this really great season in the middle where I was in school and I had like 1 foot planted in Bed Bath & Beyond and 1 foot planted in ministry and going to school. And it was like this perfect balance, like everything worked. And then I had this really horrible final year at Bed Bath & Beyond where the 1 foot was out of Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, you'd come and you'd look at the sign and you'd go like, ah. And then you go and do ministry and you'd serve the Lord and you go like, oh, this is – and the only redeeming thing at my day job was the fact that I would share Jesus with anybody that I could.
Yeah.
You know, I always joked, and my one coworker joked with me. I said in the last year of my time with Bed Bath & Beyond, I was the worst salesman in the world because somebody would want to buy something, and I would say, do you really need – is everything okay? How are you doing?
Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah, have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we – you know, one time somebody even said to me, were you praying with them? And I go, yeah. And they go, here? So I don't think it was in the job description, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm called to do it. So.
Well, and you talked earlier about that convergence when you're in the center of God's will and you just feel it and sense it and everything's coming together. And in a sense, he was, I don't know, destining you to come to that point where you were to take that foot out of Bed Bath & Beyond and then move into the role. And that's maybe the lesson for some of our listeners today, Jason. What would you say to that person that feels like there's something more to life than just getting that paycheck and living for the weekend, that maybe they need to entertain the idea that God loves them or has something more for them? How would you speak truth into their hearts?
I just read, it was a real blessing. I went to a conference this past weekend, and I had just finished reading a book and actually teaching my congregation out of this book. It's by Sky Gitani, and it's called With. And when I went to this conference, his junior editor was there, so I got even more kind of insight into what he was trying to say in this book. But in this book, he says that there are people who live a life for God. And that means that everything they do it for God. I got to do this for God. Or they live a life from God where God's like a vending machine. And they go, well, if I just pray and I just do this enough, God's going to give me the thing I asked for. I'm praying for a pickup truck tomorrow. A pickup truck will come. Or they live like a life under God where they're afraid, scared to death of God. And so they feel like it's always like this eternal scoreboard, like, and you're not doing very well. And then they live a life kind of under God. And in this book, and he encapsulated everything that my heart was like saying for years, was that God desires to be with us. I mean, that's the promise of Scripture, is that God desires, I mean, I believe it's 28 times in Scripture God says that. He says it to Abraham, says it to Jacob, he says it to Joshua. He continually says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And I think that some of us believe that our mission field is somewhere over the hill and far away. And it's not, because God is right here with us. That means as we go to the grocery store, God is with us. As we go to the gas station, to the post office, God is with us. And I think that our life changes when we understand that God, who can do anything, desires to be near and close, right next to you. He desires to share in every moment of your life with you, your ups and your downs. He just desires to be there right with you. And I think it changes your whole idea. I joked during the service when I taught this, I said, all the moms in the room stand up, because we wanted to give the moms some love. And I said, I talk to moms all the time, and moms say to me, I don't have time to be involved in this ministry because I have kids. I don't have time to do this because I have kids. And I go, what do you mean you don't have time to be in ministry? You are a minister. You're the greatest disciple maker I have ever seen. You're making disciples like Jesus in a way I never could, by spending time with these kids. And so I think that sometimes we get sold on the fact that we think in order to serve God, we have to do something else. And God says, no, 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 wait a second. Do what you're doing with me right there. And I think that that's important. A lot of people, I've been studying Matthew 28 over and over again recently. And that go that Jesus says is therefore go. But he never defines what go means. So does that could mean go to the grocery store. That could mean go to the post. That could mean go to your neighbors. That could mean go to Africa. But don't close it out and say that go must only mean missions over and across the sea. Because last time, me personally, I checked against the population of Muhammad and against the numbers that I can ascertain are attending a church, we have a lot of going that needs to happen locally.
Yeah, right here. And the going can be empowered because you've spent that time with the Lord. Like Mary, you've chosen the best. You've spent time with Jesus. And I like how you said being with God, not doing things for God or from God or under God, but spending time with God, drawing near to Him, like where Jesus stated to Martha, Mary has chosen the better. And I think that's what we need to continue to develop and enhance and focus on, is that intimate time with the Lord Jesus. And that may be praying to Him. That may be just listening to Him or reading His Word and connecting with Him in those supernatural ways where He'll breathe truth and life and hope into your heart.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about John chapter 3 and verse 22. It says this, after this, Jesus and His disciples went out into the Judean countryside where He spent time with them and baptized. And that word spent time with them is a Greek word. It's called diatribu. And what it really means is it means to rub a hole through something. So it's like you take two pieces of fabric and you rub them together till there's a hole in there. And that is the metaphor for how Jesus spent time with people. He rubbed off on them and rubbed through them. So I think that that's so important that we understand that God wants to be with us and spend time with us and rub off on us so that we can then go and rub off on others.
Well, Jason, we're going to quickly give you the opportunity to share your website and what time your Sunday services are. I know you have a special fall event, a fall festival coming up. In our closing, like 30 seconds, give us a website and your church times.
Okay, communityfreechurch.com. That's where you can find out what's going on at the church. We have a calendar there. Fall Festival will be October 29th. On that date, we're going to have games and fun, cupcake walk, fried donuts. It's for the entire family. Bring your friends. Everybody needs to come. And we worship every Sunday morning at 10:45 at Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois.
And give us a phone number.
Sure, that's going to be 217-586-5165. 217-586-5165.
Well, that was taking you back to Tuesday, October 18th, 2011, 3¾ years ago, when I first invited Pastor Jason Schiffo into the studio to share his testimony. After the program, we prayed and talked some more, and the following Wednesday, and I'll air that program tomorrow, is when Jason began co-hosting with me on Wednesdays. And so tune in tomorrow, and you'll learn more of the story. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.